This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.
Protestations of Obama himself in his speech to children in Northern Ireland about peace, when he said, "Those who choose a path of peace, I promise you that the United States of America will support you every step of the way. We will be the wind at your back." Now I ask you, is this person going for the Hypocrite of the Century Award? Because we have to call things by their right names. And the reality is that by any serious examination, this man is a war criminal.
2-1-1-0.
I know some people want me to bypass Congress and change the laws on my own.
It is the agenda for the 21st century you're living in today. For a brave new world where everything that you cherished and held true will no longer exist.
In the original Constitution, I think it is an imperfect document, and I think it is a document that reflects some deep flaws.
And that would authorize him to use the military to arrest people in the United States who, in the president's opinion, are enemies of the country.
You'll find that they've also asked for the right to imprison farmers who wouldn't keep books as prescribed by the federal government. The Secretary of Agriculture asked for the right to seize farms through condemnation and resell them to other individuals. And contained in that same program was a provision that would have allowed the federal government to remove 2 million farmers from the soil.
These government Republicans and Democrats were busy shredding the last vestiges of the Constitution. They're talking about inserting the army into domestic law enforcement. The homeland is part of the battlefield, and people can be held without trial, whether an American citizen or not.
I have been often to, the mothership in New York City, but it's good to have an outpost of the council right here down the street from the State Department. We get a lot of advice from the council, so this will mean I won't have as far to go to be told what we should be doing and how we should think about the future.
Take off the tinfoil hat and put on the Kevlar. It's time for battle with Paul Preston and the Agenda 21 Show.
Well, hello and welcome to Agenda 21 Radio. This is the radio show that is stopping totalitarianism one community at a time.
Welcome back to Watch Midnight. All right, everybody, we get into various subjects because we try to cram 4 hours worth of talk into two because that's all we have available to us. But Paul Preston is our guest tonight. And Paul, I got to tell you that you and I are going to have a lot of conversations. We're going to get into a lot of this stuff as the days go by. But there are a bunch of people that really, we promote this program. We want to talk about the state of Jefferson with you because you and I talked about it this morning. And there are some people who are really on fire to hear everything that you have. So we have cleared out our commercials until the bottom of the hour. So
awesome. You
got a nice long sweep, okay?
Awesome.
So you just let her rip and just enrich everybody. Let them know what's going on. I realize you can't talk about everything, but talk about everything that you can.
Sure. Well, for those of you who do not know about the State of Jefferson movement, let me give you a little bit of background quickly. It's involving 21 counties in the northern part of California, and actually could involve as many as 30 counties. But right now, technically, the Jefferson movement, which was established in 2013 as a way to get away from the tyranny and the tyrannical behavior of the California state government, has come together as a group, a large number of people within those 21 counties, to declare their independence. And that independence date for declaration is going to be January 21st, 2017, the day following the inauguration of Donald Trump as president, 45th president of the United States. And in this independence, and kind of backing up a little bit, from 2013 until literally January 6th of 2015, there was a movement afoot within all these counties, and this movement was sparked by one Mark Baird, who I consider Mark Baird to be one of the top three most influential people in the world today. And let me tell you who the other two are: Nigel Farage and Donald Trump. it's pretty good company to be the top three influential people in the world, in my opinion. And when I get done with this explanation about how the state of Jefferson has come about and the formation of the 51st state, putting another star on the flag and becoming a more perfect union, I think people will be a little bit stunned. But Mark Baird is a former airline pilot. He's a rancher up in Siskiyou County. He knows the ins and outs of what's been going on in the ranching world and in rural counties. He's seen all of Northern California become economically depleted and deprived, the educational system gone into shambles. And we are under the thumb of a tyrannical government. Tyranny is here in California. As everybody knows, we're 50th in education, we're 50th in commerce, we're 50th in new startup companies. And they all run around touting how great California is. It sucks. What we have right now is a Soviet-style socialist government. And in fact, I created a flag 3 years ago called with the motto underneath it. It usually says California Republic, but I changed it around to the California Soviet Socialist Republic because of the influence certainly of Jerry Brown. Jerry Brown, who is a Jesuit, he is also a socialist. He is the son of Edmund G. Pat Brown. He first became governor in 76 and stepped out in 84. He was the governor following Ronald Reagan, who ultimately in 1980 became president. But he was an extremist then, and he's an extremist now. And in fact, we're looking into why and how he wrote legislation himself so that he could become governor a third and fourth term, which is against the Constitution of California. Now, that's just a little hang up in the giddy up, I guess. But California has long since, actually since 1996, California has turned itself into a monoparty, a one-party system, democratic. And it's not just one party. You have the huge influence of communism and Nazism together combined through the help of the church to become a totalitarian, tyrannical form of government. And this is where we are today. And now we've had these notions of people saying California is its own state, its own nation, and should be its own nation, so we want to secede. And so you had what was called Yes California, which started, I believe, about 5 years ago, opened up business as a nonprofit, and then suddenly became funded about 6 months ago, and then changed its name to Cal Exit suddenly. Well, we looked up who was funding Cal Exit. It's kind of interesting because who was funding Cal Exit were two groups. One, a nonprofit that was affiliated with, guess who? George Soros. And the other one was the Ryushi Sasakawa Peace Foundation. Now, a little bit about, well, I think we all know who George Soros is and what he's been up to through his nonprofits, his multitude of nonprofits. But, you know, and of course, the interesting thing is that Jerry Brown has worked together with some of these nonprofits to fund them through California propositions over the last several years, especially Prop 1. We'll get into that in a second. But what the Ryoshi Sasakawa Foundation is kind of a really interesting one, and Red Smith of the Shasta Lantern, and you can refer to this on our website, agenda21radio.com.news, or you can go to ShastaLantern.net and read the article that he wrote about why Cal Exit is not really an option. I think that's the title. I'll get it here in a second. I'll pull it up on the computer. But anyway, we were able to connect the dots between Jerry Brown, the Ryoshi Sasakawa Foundation. Well, this is kind of interesting. If you ever know about who Ryushi Sasakawa is, ladies and gentlemen, you might want to check your history books. Oh, you won't find him there? Hello. You might find him associated with the United Nations and UNICEF, but nothing before that. Well, listen to the history teacher. Well, I was a former biology teacher, but I'll give you some history here. As a teacher, Ryushi Sasakawa is a war criminal. He killed millions of people when he was a Japanese warlord in China. Have you ever heard of The Rape of Nanking? Oh, hello.
I have. Got the book.
The Rape of Nanking, which was ushered in by Ryoshi Sasakawa. And it wasn't just that. It was all of Western China. And he was fighting against Chiang Kai-shek. Taiwan, anybody? Does that sort of ring a bell? Donald Trump ringing the bell and picking up the phone from guess who? The Taiwanese president just recently. But it was Ryoshi Sasakawa who was fighting against or killing elements of Chiang Kai-shek. Remember, he was a nationalist. He was very much into free enterprise and freedom for his people, as opposed to the Japanese, and then later on, Mao Zedong. And he had to capitulate to Mao Zedong and leave the coast and go to Formosa, which he set up the island nation of Taiwan, which is the one part of the whole so-called one nation system of how we communicate with China through Beijing, which is kind of stupid. But the Taiwanese government had long been considered to be the real government of China until Nixon came along, and then they came to the one-state policy. But anyway, so you have this Chinese element going on with Ryoshi Sasakura. He gleaned billions of dollars in World War II dollars. And at the end of the war, he was tried as a war criminal, and he was found guilty of murdering millions of people. And then a little bit later on, after his conviction, the CIA got him off. Why? Because he was worth billions of dollars of gold and other treasures. And, of course, the CIA was very interested in that. Now, I might want to add, you got to remember who the CIA was at that time. CIA was an amalgamation, a combining of the OSS, which was our precursor to the CIA during World War II, and also, well, guess what? The Gestapo. Hello, Operation Paperclip. Remember that? It wasn't just about the space race. It was also about the formation of the CIA. Now, Ryoshi Sasakura was kind of an interesting character because he was the delegate from Japan to the Vatican in the 1930s, which it made him in contact with his really good friend to become a good friend known as Adolf Hitler. And later in the 30s, of course, he plundered Western China. That's Ryoshi Sasakura. You won't find it in the history books too much because, as you know, John, and as I'm sure many of your sophisticated listeners, and most, and what I love about what we're doing in the New Stream Media is our listeners go and fact check, they check things out, and they just get stunned with every revelation. This is going to be a stunner for a lot of them. And that's what that's so great about the New Stream Media. That's why we're kicking the butt of the mainstream media. Nobody's listening to them. They're listening to us. And I treasure the opportunity to speak to your audience because of this. So Ryoshi Sasakura gets involved in becoming an industrialist. In fact, what does he do? He buys Mitsubishi. He's the owner of Mitsubishi and the Bank of Tokyo and Samwa Bank and so on. And from that, he starts to become involved with philanthropy. And part of that was the United Nations. Now, here's the interesting thing. Sasakura was involved with the overthrow of Sukarno in Indonesia. And in Indonesia, Sukarno in the 1950s, everybody was afraid he was becoming a communist because he was starting to nationalize the oil fields from Royal Dutch Shell. And so by 1956, everybody said, we need to get rid of Sukarno. And that was the CIA saying that. Let's get help from Ryoshi Sasakura. So they started this little thing about overthrowing Sukarno. And by the way, if you read some of the books about the Hitler books out there and the Hitler legacy books, you'll find that certain cast of characters start to show up in this time frame, including Lee Harvey Oswald. Isn't that interesting? In this whole...
It doesn't surprise me in the least. Just keep rolling. This is amazing.
Anyway, so Sasakura, by 1964, the elements that were trying... Totalitarian elements, the Nazi-backed Japanese and the Nazis themselves, because you had a lot of National Socialists, a lot of Nazi diaspora ended up in, guess where, Indonesia. And some of the authors place Adolf Hitler having survived the bunker. And if you're watching the Hunting Hitler series, that's where it's all going to go. It's going to show that Adolf Hitler did survive. And even as the last program they showed, he was starting and up running the Fourth Reich. And in fact, they had developed in advanced stages of the nuclear weapons at the time. This is in the 1950s in Argentina. So this is, guys, this is just not me talking. These are a lot of other people, researchers out there that have this information. But Sasakura and these elements of the National Socialists decided, well, you know, we're going to overrun this country. We need to get with a real smart attorney who can kind of put our banking interests all together and bundle our banking interests. So they contacted a guy in California. In San Francisco, a sharp attorney by the name of Edmund G. Pat Brown. No, Pat Brown. Sounds a lot like Jerry Brown. That's because it is Jerry Brown's father.
Oh, boy.
And so he helps to facilitate, and he gets paid royalties from Royal Dutch Shell and everybody else to do this. So also part of that deal was when Edmund G. Brown became governor in the 60s, he was very quick to make sure that oil through Chevron Oil from Indonesia got into California. They cornered the California market for Indonesian oil. Hello? So is it a big surprise that they want to break California apart? Now, this is not the first attempt here recently to get the Europeans involved in the breakup of California and seize California for their own. And we had this incident back in 2012 election with Prop 31, sponsored by a billionaire out of Bonn, Germany, by the name of Nicholas Bergeron. And Nicholas Bergeron floated this proposition that it would revise all of California's governmental systems and how we govern ourselves and turn us into a pretty interesting nation state in and of itself. But Nicholas Bergeron, of course, turned out to be one of the totalitarians that's affiliated with Nazis and other people. So we defeated that in California, 60-40 in California. Once we found out who Nicholas Bergeron was, who he was up to, he was a globalist. He was working with various religious groups and so on. And we defeated it 60-40. Now let's jump forward here now in current day. In this most recent election in California, Hillary Rodham Clinton came out with 3 million votes. Ladies and gentlemen, if you believe that, I've got some great swampland that's about to be drained in Florida or even Washington, D.C. And how about let's drain the swamp around Sacramento, California? So what happened was that Nicholas Bergeron, we defeated him. We got all the inside scoop about all the people he was talking to here in California. And it was all Republicans that he was talking to. And the Democrats were all in on this. And so what we started to see was a huge cluster of corruption going on within the California state legislature, the senators and the assembly members, and that all linked back in many respects to the cartels. The cartels, you know, the Mexican cartels who were having a field day, or they were having a field day in the Philippines until their president over, I can't remember, Duterte, is that his name? It's a funny name, but anyway, you heard about him. He's lining up anybody who's selling marijuana or any drug pusher in town and executing him. And these people
Duterte.
That's it. That's right. And it's funny. I couldn't remember his name because I actually made a phone call to a source in the Philippines and finally got a hold of somebody. And I just wanted to say, how do you pronounce that guy's name? But the reason why President Barack Hussein Obama didn't go visit him is because he doesn't want Obama there, because he sees Obama as the leader of the cartels. Hello? Which, of course, he is, because it is the cartels that are at the evil, the root of a lot of this evil. And the cartels are being controlled by multinationals, and President Barack Hussein Obama is part of that cabal. And so anyway, the California legislature is a completely corrupt body. One good example of that was with a guy by the name of Leland Yee, who was a senator, who, by the way, Leland Yee has been one of our ardent supporters of gun control in California. But Leland Yee, about 3 years ago, was caught up in a scam of gun running following Benghazi. A state senator gun running. Yeah, I said gun running, international gun running. And what he was trying to do was get Stinger missiles from, guess where? Benghazi. Because remember Benghazi, all the weapons that were shipped out of Benghazi that were sent over to Syria to arm ISIS and form ISIS?
Yes. Oh, yes.
So all those weapons were actually starting to show up now in as diaspora weapons, I guess you could say, from Benghazi, including Stinger missiles. Well, these Stinger missiles ended up in the Philippines, and Leland Yee was negotiating with people in the Philippines to bring over Stinger missiles to California to shoot down Southwest Airlines.
Oh, man. I mean, do you know how wild that sounds? By the way, speaking of...
Well, he's in jail now for it. It's not wild. So, it's real.
so this was not just... this wasn't... What's the phrase today? Oh, yeah, fake news. This was really going to happen?
Yeah. That was their intent. You see, and again, you know, we're accumulating this information, and by my administrative positions and so on, I've had contact with Hispanic groups and so on all throughout California, gang members and so on. I'm gang expert, drug expert, and all this other good stuff, and had to testify, and the whole career goes around that. And over the course of years, I've been able to see this progressive pattern going on with some of these groups, especially like La Raza and Mecha. And I've worked with groups. In fact, many of my high schools had Mecha clubs. Now, Mecha is an acronym for the Movement of Students, and it's a student movement to improve students, and basically Mecha was developed from La Raza as the educational sector. But when Mecha wanted to form clubs in high schools in California in the 1960s, which is when La Raza really started to become activated, a lot of school people saw it as a great way to assimilate Mexicans into the population, and they did it. And so most of your Mecha clubs in California were really legitimate good school clubs that were doing really good work by getting kids jobs and getting kids into assimilate into American-style culture. and they were working. But you had still La Raza. And La Raza is a racist group. Anybody who's a member of La Raza is a self-identified racist. It means the race, ladies and gentlemen. I just don't want to be stupid and blunt. But, you know, when Donald Trump went ballistic about the judge who was handling his case, and he said, well, he's a member of La Raza, and everybody on the East Coast started saying, oh, he was born in Ohio. He's an American. How could Donald Trump? Listen, guys, if you're in California, you know who La Raza is. They're the racist, bigoted thugs that want to kill white Europeans, and they'll tell you that to your face, as I have been told probably 30 times over 40 years of experience. With, you know, because I used to do student discipline and stuff, and I used to meet with these individuals and these thugs from La Raza, and they would tell me that point blank to my face. We're going to take over California. We're going to take it over. We're going to take back what is California for Mexico, because you stole it from Mexico and in the Mexican War, when the Treaty of Guadalupe, Hidalgo, and, of course, that's that whole Aztlan mentality. Well, they really want to do it this time in California, and this is now the time in which they've come to fruition. And
how many factions are trying to pull California apart? You got La Raza wants the whole thing, I guess. You got the state of Jefferson. They want to pull out those 20 some odd counties you talked about.
Right.
And then you got Brown and his people that want to take.
Well, Brown and his people and La Raza and everybody connected with CalExit are all one and the same. They've all included. You got communist Daryl Steinberg, who used to be the Senate pro tem of California. He's now the mayor of Sacramento. Stone cold Marxist. He's kind of spearheading a lot of these people, especially the sanctuary movement in California. And they've been planning this and plotting this for years, ladies and gentlemen, to take California as a nation for themselves. These totalitarians want to rule California, and they think they can pull it off. And they're destined to do it unless we stop it. Now, this is where the state of Jefferson comes in, because Jefferson is not about seceding from the nation. CalExit is the act of, they want to secede. They want to leave the nation. And the last time that happened, it was the Civil War. It's an illegal act. It's unconstitutional on its face. It's been proven in the courts to be unconstitutional to secede from the nation, especially like they are planning to do now. Now, what that does, and I filed a statement with the Attorney General saying on its face this is illegal. You have to deny this proposition, because what's happened is a CalExit has come up, spirited by Ryoichi Sasakawa and Peace Foundation. Now, Ryoichi Sasakawa is dead. He's passed away. He left his foundation to his children, who, by the way, are really good friends of the Brown family. Hello. So you have Jerry Brown. You have these other elements that are really... And Jerry Brown, his office, I've tried on several different occasions here in the last 2 weeks to get a statement of denunciation for the CalExit movement, because it's unconstitutional. It's illegal. You would think that the governor of California, who's charged with enforcing state laws and federal laws, that he would come out and denounce any movement that's totally on its face unconstitutionally. He refuses to do that. And his staff has, I think, encouraged him to say something, because we're starting to dog him, and he's saying nothing. So silence is tantamount to support, in my opinion, especially when you start to getting the links to the Ryoichi Sasakawa Foundation and Jerry Brown. Now, you have Kevin De Leon, who's the Speaker of the House, who's related to the Calderon cabal down in, which is heavily into the cartels down in Southern California, and others in the state assembly. They're talking and giving illegal orders, and I can't say too much about that, but that this is something that we're currently investigating. They're doing illegal acts on state time. You go to the California Capitol, and all you hear is Spanish in the Capitol, because everybody's speaking Spanish. Nobody speaks English, because the English, Spanish is going to be the real language of California once they do CalExit. Now, you've got this CalExit program that came from Yes California, recently funded, and they... opened up. You heard about the two leaders. These two leaders, maybe you didn't. One of them is from Russia, or actually, he married a Russian, and they're both Muslim. He and his wife are both Muslims. And the second guy who's in part of this is also a Muslim, and he's also with La Raza, the racist group. And I can tell you right now, I've had interviews with numerous individuals, mostly Mexicans. And by the way, this is nothing against the Mexicans in California that are hardworking. I mean, my family's Mexican, so I'm, I'm one of them. Hello, but the point is that these Mexicans in California, they're here lawfully, legally, and contributing, and proud Americans. Proud Americans. In fact, it's been these proud American Mexicans who have come to me, proud American California Mexicans who have come to me knowing their lives are in danger by talking to me to tell you what I'm about to tell you things. That they are adamant, they're being pressured in their communities, in their churches right now, to go along with this whole thing of a revolution against the United States of America to form California. You see, because they, because of the legal situations, they really only have one pathway to go down, and that is an armed revolution in which you're going to kill people. And they fully intend to do this. Now, I can say fully because I've had contact over the years with these people. I know the how vehemently they hate Europeans and the Caucasian Europeans, as they call them, here in California and throughout the Southwest. Now, again, this is a small element of people, but again, it's a people that are in power that got there, and through our monoparty system, and with a dictator in charge like Jerry Brown, you can see what they're doing to the whole system. They're corrupting it, and these people have established themselves quite well and ensconced themselves in quite good power positions, especially like in the Attorney General's office. You had Kamala Harris, who was there, and she's nothing more than Obama with a dress. She's now been elevated to senator, and she's going to be taking over Barbara Boxer's seat. But
thank goodness somebody is.
Well, hey, but you better
hope. Can you hold up for just a second here? Let's do a little commercial break, and then I want to ask you if this fellow Masayoshi Son with SoftBank, who wants to pump $50 billion into the economy, has anything whatsoever to do with this. Not suggesting that he does. I just want to ask that question. And the other thing is one of our members joining us tonight wants to know if any of this has anything to do with the Fast and Furious program. It's a little shot out of left field, but you never know. Sometimes they yield some good things. This is Arc Midnight. Our guest is Paul Preston. I am John B. Wells. Happy Christmas Eve to everybody. Stand by for more.
If you run the marketing for your company, you're getting bombarded by salespeople from new media, bragging about how everyone's listening to them, except they're not. Edison Research, the independent research company that does the exit polls for CNN, looked at people's consumption of audio in a single day. The truth? Not what the new Pandora sales folks are telling you. They'll tell you radio is dead, but more than 93% of people listen to radio in a week. More than half of all audio consumed in a day is radio. On shiny new toys, only 6% listen to satellite in a day, 6% to Pandora, just 3% to Spotify. Radio, still the dominant adult mass marketing medium. The 7 Cumulus radio stations here in DFW reach over 3 million people per week. 3 million. Those new media toys don't have that kind of reach. Find out more about that Edison research and the truth about audio consumption at DallasRadioWinds.com. That's DallasRadioWinds.com.
If your home driveway, walkway, or patio has uneven slabs, but you think you can't afford to replace them, think again and call Longcrete. I'm Dave Williams. Those uneven slabs are ugly, but more importantly, they're dangerous. Longcrete raises sunken slabs by injecting polyurethane under the sunken concrete and lifting it back into place. The process is fast and much cheaper than concrete replacement. To learn more, go online to longcrete.com. That's Longcrete, LONGCRETE.com.
Experts agree that America's water infrastructure is deteriorating. Threats include aging infrastructure, ruptured pipes and sinkholes, as well as chemical, pharmaceutical, and sewage-saturated water sources. You need a critical contamination barrier in place for your family. You need the Big Berkey system. It removes viruses, bacteria, pesticides, PFCs, pharmaceuticals, organic chemicals, heavy metals, foul tastes and odors, even radiologicals for just pennies per gallon. Use the portable Big Berkey water purifier at home while traveling, camping, at sporting events, and during an emergency. Because it not only purifies treated water, the powerful Big Berkey system can purify raw, untreated water from sources like lakes, ponds, rivers, and streams. And the Big Berkey system needs no electricity, plumbing, or water pressure, so you can take it anywhere. Get your Big Berkey C2M special by ordering online at berkeywater.com/C2M or call 877-857-PURE.
Hi, I'm Scott Tannen, founder of Boll & Branch. If you're driving to the mall, turn around. Make it easy on yourself. Give your loved ones what they really want but rarely get, a perfect night's sleep with a set of Boll & Branch sheets. Bull & Branch sheets are made from 100% organic cotton and are incredibly soft and comfortable. And because we only sell online at bullandbranch.com, they cost less than half of what you'd pay for luxury linens at the store. We take care of everything. Shipping is free, and our sheets arrive beautifully packaged in our signature box. No gift wrapping needed. We have thousands of five-star reviews, and even three U.S. presidents sleep on Bull & Branch. We guarantee you'll love them, too. That's why we let you sleep on our sheets for 30 nights. If you don't, return them and get your money back. Right now, we'll give you $50 off your first set of sheets when you go to bullandbranch.com. Spelled B-O-L-L and branch.com. Promo code SLEEP. $50 off at bullandbranch.com. Promo code SLEEP. That's bullandbranch.com. Promo code SLEEP.
Hey, sales executives. How's 2017 lining up for you professionally? Have you hit a ceiling? Are you still having fun while being successful? Has it become routine?
Now think about the prospects of selling for some of the strongest media brands in DFW.
This is local sales manager Steve Holm, and we're looking for a competitive seller to join our high-energy sales team. Interested? Email me your resume at steve.holm@cumulus.com. That's steve.holm@cumulus.com.
Cumulus is an equal opportunity employer.
Christmas Eve, I wouldn't have missed it for the world. And there's a little Jethro Tull in the background. Ian's not going to get as much airtime as he normally would because we want to talk to Paul. Now, let me clear up a couple of things here. Now, a couple of listeners said Paul Preston's not correct because Maryland seceded. Maryland did not want to secede. It was walking the tightrope. And let's keep in mind that we are divided north and south, so we're not talking about a single state deciding to just separate from the Union. That's a little bit different deal. Now, going to the California situation, Paul, straighten me out on this if I'm wrong, but the Union has to, yes, it is in the California state constitution that under certain conditions, including revolution, California can secede from the Union, but the Union has to agree to
right.
it.
Right. Yeah. Little minor problem.
Yeah, that's a slightly...
This group is not seeking to have the United States agree to them. That's
gotcha.
The totalitarian nature. As
is
opposed
what
to...
What I just said correct? Is that correct?
From
the Union
my,
has to agree to it?
Well, the Union would have to agree to this. It would take a constitutional amendment to do that, and that's just not going to happen. And where I'm coming from is what the next part of their plan is it, and that's why I said earlier, it's that path that narrows. They've got themselves in a narrow path of how they're going to complete this project, and that is by revolution, violent revolution. And that's where they're going, and that's why I'm on the radio.
Can anybody really envisage a violent revolution that's going to try and really, you know, strip California out of the 48 contiguous states? I mean, to me, this is just like some lunatic's dream. Oh, yeah.
Well,
I forgot. Jerry Brown's the governor. Forget I said anything.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things, and I'll give you a little bit of hint, too, is how this is all playing out, because it is playing out, and it's been orchestrated quite well. And we were elated, Red Smith and myself and our researchers were elated when we heard about the SoftBank agreement that took place, and you were alluded to that. And
yes.
That whole thing that took place, which was an investment of $50 billion in the U.S. to create 50,000 jobs, that really is an attempt, I think, to strengthen the current prime minister's, Abe's, position in Japan, because he's being pressured by the other party. I don't recall which one it is. But that party is being funded by guess who? Ryoshi Sasakawa.
George Soros.
No, Ryoshi Sasakawa.
Okay, thank God. Thank God, that's one pie Soros doesn't have his finger in. Okay,
well,
good.
But you got the Sasakawa group, and by the way, now we're looking into and we're investigating that the defense minister of Japan, newly appointed, a female, a woman, I can't remember her name right now, but we are trying to do all kinds of background checks with her to find out who she really is, and it's pointing in the direction that she's possibly the granddaughter of guess who, Ryoshi Sasakawa, and she would be in line to take over the incumbent's position, Shinzo Abe, if in fact she was to ascend to that position. And she's totally with the other party. She's not with Abe's party. So what Donald Trump did was brilliant. He thwarted Ryoshi Sasakawa, is what he did. And he also put it in the face of Ryoshi Sasakawa elements in and around Japan and the Hitlerian groups out there that want to overthrow the country. He also did the same thing by answering the phone from the Taiwanese president. He told them clearly where he stands. He does not stand with this CalExit business. He doesn't stand with George Soros. He doesn't stand with the Sasakawa people. It's kind of a brilliant move on his part, and he's not even president yet.
Yeah, I know it. He is something else. But you know, you don't amass that kind of that kind of a fortune without having your stuff together on some pretty high level,
right?
I would think. So, what about Soros?
Well, you know, he's truly a totalitarian. He's a multi-billionaire, and he got a lot of his money. He was some people are disputing this, which is kind of interesting, about how he developed his acumen to accumulate cash and money and so on from his Nazi days back in when he was a child of 14 in Hungary in the 1930s. Well, he grew up all throughout the war turning in Jews to the Nazis, and he was a Jew. And that's how he kept himself alive. In fact, if any of your listeners want to queue up the YouTube from Steve Croft's 60 Minutes interview with him in the 1990s, just watch it. He tells you what he's all about. He's a totalitarian monster. And he's got all of his nonprofits out there that he's been funding. He's got a whole cabal of nonprofits that try and set up shadow governments and local governmental agencies and so on to influence him. The California Air Resources Board is an example of where they have a shadow government. They're a corporation. The California Air Resources Board, which is single-handedly destroying California's economy and creating this huge poverty that we're seeing throughout the middle portion of California, is an unrelenting totalitarian group of unelected officials. And these officials are incorporated out of, guess where, Delaware. So they don't even answer to the state legislature. Nobody. They're just lawless. And they've been using the Highway Patrol and other state agencies by conning truck drivers to pull over and receive tickets that have huge fines with them. I mean, it's just absolutely totalitarian in its nature. And we've been exposing it here on Agenda 21 Radio and for quite some time. And I had some friends in the Highway Patrol. I still, they're friends to me, but they won't answer my calls anymore. And I pointed this out on the radio show that they were giving illegal tickets because they were being asked by an unaffiliated government organization to give tickets to truckers and fines to truckers in the billions of dollars. They're the ones who set up this carbon trading exchange system that they had out of Vienna and in Sydney and in Sacramento to exchange. It's like a stock market exchanging carbon credits. It's total corruption. It's total corruption. And by the way, if you want to go in and watch the stock market exchange things, they won't let you in. They won't even let the press in. You wonder why. They won't let anybody in. It's a secret. It's your money, but it's a secret. Yeah, I mean, this it's just actually unhinged out here in California. And, of course, this is all going to end badly. And what we're if we don't get the word out, and that's one of the reasons why the Jefferson Movement is so refreshing, because it is a legal, constitutionally correct way to form a new state and create a more perfect union. And we're doing that, and we've filed all the necessary documents for 21 counties. There's going to be more counties to come on board. But on the 21st of January this year, we're actually having a declaration statement that's going to be signed by the representatives of the counties. And we're going to do the Declaration of Independence process, and we're going to start listing the grievances that we have against California and the tyrant that is Jerry Brown, that he is affecting on everybody, and this monoparty system that we have, which, by the way, you got to remember something, ladies and gentlemen. If you want to become a dictator, if you want to become a ruler of a nation, you don't need no stinking political parties. And that's why they got rid of the California Republican Party, which is totally inept. They have supermajorities of Democrats in the House and in the Assembly and in the Senate. And they can do whatever they want to do. Now let's talk about why they want to do what they're doing with gun control, which takes effect in just a few days from now, on January 1st, 2017. And yeah, the draconian gun measures, anti-Second Amendment gun measures that were approved and passed, which ultimately lead to the confiscation of weapons. In fact, there's one of the propositions that passed that allows for your AR-15 not to be transmitted or not to be willed to your children. They have to be turned over to the police.
Oh, man. Are you kidding me?
No. Plus, also, you have to have a background check for ammunition.
Now, I wonder why they would want to do a thing like that.
Well, do you think they might be getting ready for a revolution?
Kind of think they might be.
Yeah. And, you know, what I love about we Americans and we Californians, at times like this, we exercise our constitutional rights. And there's two ways they do it. Where first is the First Amendment. We have freedom of speech and freedom of the press and assembly and so on. But my point is this, is that we are blasting this information out as independent citizen journalists, proud alternative media people that are just bashing out the truth. The other part of it is the response by Californians as Americans to exercise their Second Amendment right by going out and buying millions of guns here in California over the last several months. Most of them AR-15s and AK-47s. Don't you love it when a plan comes together? Californians are armed to the teeth as citizens. And it's going to be a tough nut to get the California Department of Justice to go in and start confiscating weapons and doing the things that they have planned. And the big plan this year is to legislatively pass and approve the, this is what I've been told, they want to outlaw AR-50, any semi-automatic weapon, and you're supposed to turn them in. That's the law that they're going to try and foist upon California. It's not going to. No one's going to comply with this. I can tell you that right now. It's just not going to happen.
And any rifle that has a bullet button, what is that? Is that the magazine release? What are they talking about?
Right. Well, California, they passed the law for you couldn't have a regular bullet button like you have on an AR-15, like you'd have in other states, or on an AK-47 to drop the magazine out and quickly exchange it. So they came up with this thing that you have to use a sharp object to push in the button that was once a button. It's no longer a button. It's just like a hole, and it's got the release mechanism. It's not, you take the tip of a bullet, and you put it in there, and that releases the magazine. So you no longer were afforded the opportunity. And all of the lowers on AR-15s and AK-47s that come to California are put together that way. So what happened was some smart guys, and we being smart Californians and Americans, came up with a notion of what's called the bullet button, which is a magnetic button. You can slip inside the little cavity for the button, and you can press it, and it exchanges it right out. So they wanted to say, wait a minute, we can't have that. First of all, we can't have, 30-round magazines, so they outlawed magazines, and that's the other thing. If you have magazines now in California that are more than 10 per magazine, you have to surrender them come January 1st. See, this is the step function increase. They're just trying to warm us up like the frog in the water.
Yeah.
So we're supposed to surrender our 30-round mags. Now, I've talked to a number of people, gun store owners and so on. No one's going to surrender their 30-round magazines. I just want to put that out there. Now, the enforcer for all this is a guy that they brought in by the name of Javier Becerra, who's a member of the House of Representatives. And Javier Becerra is a thug and a punk. And he is a monster, in my opinion. He is going to go out and enforce these draconian drug laws like he thinks he really can do it. But I got to tell you, there's massive resistance against him coming from the bureaucrats, of all people, in Sacramento. So whether or not he gets hooked up on board, and by the way, he's a very strong Jesuit trained. He went to the University of Salamanca to become a better, more efficient bureaucrat, if you will. And he believes in a dictatorship. There's no question. That's his philosophy. Now, he would argue with me, and people are going to say that's just not true. Check him out. La Raza, of course, member of La Raza. They're all members of La Raza. And anybody who's a member of La Raza, and they say to you, oh, yeah, I'm a member of La Raza, if they don't follow the La Raza line, they get in trouble. And what is the La Raza line? To get white Europeans out of Aslan and especially California, and they will do so by killing you. Now, I can tell you, I have had that said to me many, many times. And I was really surprised at a Tea Party meeting here recently with about 70 people. I was talking about this whole movement, what we're kind of generally talking about. I get a hand up in the back. A man steps up. He had attended a meeting in Sacramento in which these conversations were being had by people that were represented by the Obama administration, by La Raza, by Familia Nuestra. I mean, all the gang elements were there. Many members of the House of the Assembly and House were there. And other community members, they were talking about these subjects. And I said to myself, and I said to him, I said, well, gee, that's called sedition. If they're, in fact, doing these things and we can get statements, that's seditious behavior. And certainly, I'm sure Jeff Sessions is going to want to have that information.
Oh, yeah.
That's serious business, ladies and gentlemen. But Javier Becerra is the hammer who's taking Kamala Harris's position because she's being elevated to the Senate. God forbid, she's in the Senate now. You thought we had problems with Barbara Boxer and Feinstein? Wait till this loon gets in there.
Hey, you ain't Matt, seen wasn't nothing that yet. Weird about that? It's right here, blog.ballotready.org. In California, Democrats don't need to lose any sleep over the race to elect the successor to Senator Barbara Boxer, who is not running for re-election. There are two candidates on the ballot, both of them Democrats.
Correct.
I mean,
yeah, that's
what?
The way they did that. This is what happened with the Republicans, why they caved in. They went all along with this. That was Prop 14 back in 2010, and it came effective in 2012. And what it meant was that you can have a primary runoff with all the parties in the world that you want, but the party system will only what will happen is the two-party system will be no longer in a place, or three-party. When you get to the primary, it's going to be only the top two vote-getters. So if you have Democrats that are the top two vote-getters, then that's going to be in the general election, and that's what happened with Barbara Boxer. And you had Loretta
with partisan primaries for all the offices at the state and federal level except for the presidency.
Right.
This is insane almost.
Well, yeah. They were getting us all ready for the monoparty. Now, I got news that the same elements that were at work in destroying the California Republican Party, and this is where it's really kind of interesting, and it gets to my statement about we don't need no stinking political parties, is that the Democratic Party now in California is under a lot of financial pressure, and it looks like they're going to fold up. So there's going to be just no parties. Isn't that just perfect for a dictator?
You know, I never thought that I would really see the day when something this blatant, flagrant, and ridiculous actually became reality. This used to be the stuff of what if, you know, kind of goofy publications that some pretty smart person would muse about. Say, how stupid, you know, some author would muse about. What if it really got this stupid? Let's explore this for a minute. But the thing is that it's reality now.
Right. It's happening. It's happening
so,
now.
You may not be in the mood for this question, Paul, but I have to ask it. What do you think will be, what does your crystal ball say about, let's just say, the first 6 months? If you want to go the whole year, that's fine. But 2017, what do you think it's going to hold for us? These people, these dictators, these totalitarians, they're real patient. But I got a feeling they're going to have to ramp up their game a little bit with Mr. Trump taking office.
The Trump thing set them off like you can't believe, because they thought they had everything schmoozed. They thought that they could go in and corrupt all the election systems, and they did in California. Bernie Sanders, clearly, when you count the provisional ballots that were voted with illegally, I might add, they used provisional ballots and did not allow a lot of Democrats to vote with a Democratic ballot, by the way, during the primary election on June 7th, and Bernie Sanders lost. Well, he actually won, and we're finding that out now. A lot of work that was done by Megan Barth of ReaganBaby.com and Katie Grimes, they've proven that. Well, it turned out that Megan Barth lives in Las Vegas. This just shows you how they corrupted the electoral system. In Las Vegas, a guy by the name of Stanley Vaughn was running for the 15th Assembly District, and in that district, he thought he was going to win. Well, he's a Republican and everything. He happens to be, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, the chess grandmaster of the world. So he's running, and he goes to vote at the polling place, and he says, "Oh, Mr. Vaughn, you already voted." He goes, "Well, no, I didn't." He says, "Well, it says you voted." "I didn't vote." "Well, here's a provisional ballot." So they gave him a provisional ballot, which they don't count those ballots. So what he did was he said, "Well, there's some corruption going on here." So he also works for the post office. This gets better. So he works for the post office, and what happens is he has 10. He goes out and gets a list from the county registrar of voters for a list of 10,000 potential voters in his district. And he has a whole bunch of people, about 400 of his supporters, sit down and write out letters or envelopes to these addresses that are listed there. You know how many came back? 9,200 of them. But guess what? You know how many voted in that district? 9,200. And that is replete throughout. You go to all the, in fact, Reagan, if you go to ReaganBaby.com, I think they've got a follow-up story on all this stuff. And they're following up. In fact, it's prompted a federal investigation. Go figure. The good FBI is on this one. So that's going to be kind of interesting. But if you go and take a look at all the battleground states where Hillary won and won by narrow margins, you're going to find this same sort of thing happening. That's my prediction. And certainly here in California it happens. California was the template for that in Nevada. And we were calling it, saying other states after the primary election are going to follow suit with California. And Nevada did. We know some of the other battleground states did the same thing. Any state that Hillary won, because clearly she did not win California. That's a farcical if people think she won. You know, I was asked to find out how many, for a certain period of time by one of my listeners, hey, Paul, have you seen any Hillary for President bumper stickers? And this is about 3 months before the election. I said, yeah, you know, I haven't. So I traveled up and down California a couple of times, and I didn't see one. And finally, I was sitting there coming home from the radio station one night, and I saw on a bumper, it said, Hillary 2016. I said, geez, there's one button. There it is right there, one of them. And then the car pulled a little bit forward, and I saw the bottom one. It said, for prison. Hillary 2016 for prison. It said on it. That's the only bumper sticker I saw.
That's beautiful.
But that's the way it was around the nation. She won. She lost by a landslide. And, of course, the wonderful thing is what we have that happened with the Electoral College, and it performed perfectly. And, in fact, I want to get to this because what this really represents, if you take away the Electoral College and you have a straight democracy, then you have dilution of vote and lack of representation for the states. And what the Founding Fathers wanted was each state have equal footing with an underpopulated state, equal footing in selecting the president with an overpopulated state, because it would just become, you know, California, New York, that would be, you would be campaigning for, and you wouldn't be getting your message out to other states. And that's what the Founding Fathers wanted. And by the way, this came back up again in a court case in California, out of California, which is the main reason, Reynolds versus Sims, this is the main reason that we're calling for a state separation in California for a lack of representation and dilution of vote. And Mark Beard, who is, like I said, one of the three most important influential men in the world, who's standing for, guess what, autonomy, who's standing for liberty, just like Donald Trump, and he's securing the borders. And we want to have secure borders here in the state of Jefferson, where I live, and we're going to do it. This is going to happen. And ladies and gentlemen, this is not some farcical little dream. You know, we put out for our very first assembly on June 23rd this last year in 2016, he said, well, how many people do you think are going to show up to this assembly? Well, maybe 100. Well, by 9 o'clock the night before, we already had registered 680 people. Over 800 people showed up. It was electric. It was amazing. It was amazing to see the Constitution at work and see Americans coming together to form a more perfect union, the 51st state called Jefferson. We're going to put another star on that flag and become 51 stars, the state of Jefferson, the 51st. It's time for 51.
Man, would that be something, or would that be something? Paul, I got a feeling there's going to be a lot more to talk about in the days to come, and maybe I'm thinking sooner than later.
Yes, absolutely. So, give me a call anytime, John. It's a privilege to be with you.
Could I do that? And now, look, what would you think about doing a part two?
Absolutely. Yeah, get Mark Beard on. He's the guy. He's the main man. I'm telling you, the guy is the main man. He is a founding father in the truest sense of the word. Americans need to hear his message, and so does the world.
Well, why don't we get together? Look, I don't know what you're doing New Year's Eve, but I know what I'm doing. I'm going to be right here. We're actually, you know, so many guests are out of town, and it's difficult to get a hold of people between Christmas and New Year's. So we're taking that time off from producing Caravan to Midnight shows, but we'll be right here for Arc Midnight New Year's Eve. We're going to be here.
Absolutely. Love to come on.
I mean, if you'd like to do it, then I can't think of a better way to kick off the new year than with a good shot of truth. Okay?
Right. Absolutely.
Well, then let's get it on. And may I just say, God bless you. Thank you for your courage, your intrepid investigatory skills, and your bravery in bringing it to the public. And Merry Christmas.
Listen, Merry Christmas, United States of America and the world. And can I say it again? Merry Christmas.
I think you said that. I think you said Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, Brendy.
All right. Talk to you next week.
Thanks.
That's Paul Preston, everybody. Agenda 21 Radio.
And like I say at this time of the radio show, we are exceptional Americans. Stay strong, America. Stay strong. You are exceptional.
We're sending out an SOS to the last vestiges of freedom, democracy, and the American way of life. Paul Preston with Agenda 21.
Stay tuned for more of Paul Preston's Agenda 21 Radio.
This is AENN, American Exceptionalism News Network.